Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I have a word for you this morning about it. This is really, really significant. I want to talk about the reason why we were created. Yeah, well, that's deep, Pastor. Go back to the beginning, book of Genesis, chapter 1. You know, God didn't just create us so we could come here and work at the plant for 40 years, retire, get a gold watch, get a motor home and travel around the country. I'm not saying you can't do those things. I'm just saying that wasn't His purpose. Right. Amen. You may work at the plant, you may work at the office, you may work here or there and all that, and you have to do those things. This is part of life, but it's not the purpose of why you're here. And if you don't know that, then you can really miss out on a lot that life has to give you. You can be a really happy, joy-filled, peace-filled, blessed Christian, or you can just be one that, just makes it.
Come on.
I mean, you can enjoy this thing. Amen? One of the things they gave us for preaching at the conference, I showed a picture of it to Phyllis. One of the things they gave us for preaching at the conference was a live turkey. So, we took it back. You know, you're gracious and take it. That's their offering to you, and we appreciate that. One time they gave us a chicken, and, of course, we can't do, our chicken comes in cellophane.
That's right.
Ours doesn't breathe and move and other things. But this one did in the vehicle. Anyway, you figure it out. But anyway, we took that turkey back to the place where we were staying. Because usually there's the locals, some of them will take that, And so we took it back to the place where we were staying. We were getting ready to check out and leave. And we had that turkey with us. And so there's a young lady there, probably in her early 20s, working there. It's a real sweet young lady. And so she's there. And so Pastor Brett says, "Do you want this turkey?" She's just looking at this thing like, "I'm not about to pick that thing up." You know what I'm saying? And she's kind of hesitant. He goes, "Well, let me ask you, is this a blessing to you? Or is this a bird?" She goes, "Well, it's a bird." In other words, this isn't a blessing. But there was a young man there. He took it. So he came and got it. And he probably took it home and had it for dinner. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. It's just we weren't equipped to do that. Anyway, let's move along. Praise the Lord. I don't even know why I was telling you that story. But we weren't created, just to live this life. And you can, I know what I was saying. You can live a life, you can be a Christian that has a blessed life, a happy life, full of joy, full of blessing. I mean, Christians are just sad all the time. And they just let life beat them down. And I think a lot of times it's because we don't know the reason why we're here. Because when you make the connection of why you're here and function in that first, that's going to make you very happy.
Amen.
You have a happy life. We all have challenges. Everybody does, right? I mean, pastor doesn't have any problems. Oh, really? Man, I got mine and other people's. So you know what I'm saying? And so I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that it's not about that. It's about getting this thing lined up right. When you get it lined up right, things work.
Amen.
And you guys, you ever try to get a bolt on a nut on a bolt? You got to get the thing lined up right. You know what I'm saying? If you don't, it just, nothing works right. You can always just feel, you can always tell when you're trying to hand tighten it, it's like, that ain't on there right. It's not, it's something, I could force it and maybe get it down there farther, but it's going to mess up some things.
Yeah.
It's just not right. That's the way life is. Once you get aligned with God's reason for creating you, everything else starts to flow a lot smoother in your life. Your marriage flows smoother. Your job flows smoother. Just your life in general starts flowing smoother because you're in alignment. You know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of believers live out of alignment with what God has for them and His purpose for them even being here to start with. And when you do that, God will bless you as much as He can, but you're just never in the perfect plan, perfect will of God. Nothing is flowing smoothly. Christians ought to be the most happy people on the face of the earth. I'm telling you, we should be. The happiest place on earth isn't Disneyland. Come on, somebody. The happiest place on earth is the church. It should be if we're doing it right, because happy are the people whose God is the Lord. So we ought to be the happiest people on the planet, but yet sometimes that's not the case. I meet Christians that, I mean, they look like they've been baptized in pickle juice. It's like, you know what I mean? I mean, come on. I have compassion on people who are going through things, and sometimes we go through things and there's trials and things like that. But yet if we're aligned right with God's purpose, it just causes everything to go smoother and work out. You get a grace on your life to help you live life that sometimes Christians don't have but should have because it's available.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Find your Bible, Genesis chapter 1. That should be easy. This ought to be the easiest passage you find today. Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading with verse number, I want to back up to verse 24. It says this, it says, and God said, Genesis 1:24, God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature, and I want you to notice this, after his kind. Cattle and creeping thing and the beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and every living creeping thing, and everything that creeped upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that was good. I want you to pay particular attention the way this is worded. God made these things after their kind, after their kind. Then he goes on to say, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, or after our kind. See? After our kind. No, we're not God, but we're made in his image and in his likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Talking about Adam and Eve. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, how many know this was talking about after they had sinned? But I think it's interesting that we get a revelation here that God came down and talked with them. Oh, somebody help me preach. God came down and talked with them. They were accustomed to this. But this time, when they heard him, they hid because they had sinned. Now, we talk about the Trinity. Anybody know the Trinity? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's called the Father. How many know? He's a Father because he has a family.
Amen.
The Bible tells us, Ephesians, that we have been adopted as his children. Amen. Ephesians 3 talks about the whole family in heaven and earth. God created man because he wanted a family. He wanted a family. I mean, he already had, you know, I taught on it. One of the things I taught in Bible school this past trip was on angelology, demonology, on angels and demons. That was one of the courses. So I chose that one to teach on that one. I like to talk about that kind of thing. So I chose angelology and taught on that. Pastor Caleb taught on hermeneutics. I can't even say it. He taught on it. I told him, I said Herman was the worst one of the Nudic brothers I knew of, man. But he taught on it, and he did a great job with it, by the way. It's just about how to interpret your Bible, how to read your Bible and interpret the scriptures, and it was really good. But I'm more geared to angels and that kind of thing and leave hermeneutics to those that can pronounce it. And so anyway, I taught on that, and we talked about the origin of angels, and, you know, we have no idea. The Bible talks about it in Revelation that John saw around the throne. He said, I saw the angels, and there were 10,000s times 10,000s. And thousands of thousands, which is a Hebrewism for an uncountable number. When you look it up in the Greek, it's talking about, and we don't, you know, I have no idea what this means, myriads of myriads and chileads of chileads. You know, we talk about millions and billions and zillions and so forth. Well, we're talking about chileads of chileads, myriads of myriads. So it's a number way out there beyond what we could even count.
One time, a prophecy teacher by the name of Hilton Sutton, who's already in heaven right now, but he was a great prophecy teacher in his day. I'd met Brother Sutton before one time in a back room, and we talked a little bit, about his earlier days of preaching. And Brother Sutton, he ran that through a computer, and he said, the best I could come up with is it was trillions of angels around the throne. Now, that doesn't mean that was all the angels. It just, at that time in Revelation, there were trillions of angels around the throne. Yeah. Trillions. He said, if you divide them up between everybody on the planet, everybody would have 20,000 angels apiece. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. I think we're covered. How many of you know that? But God created all those angels, but yet they're not in his image. They're not in his likeness. He didn't find them suitable to fellowship. Just like when he came to Adam in the garden and he brought all the animals before Adam and he named them and said, yet there wasn't a help mate or suitable for Adam. Dog didn't work. I know some of you love your little dog. Come on. You know, you get older, and you know, maybe your spouse goes on to heaven, you go get a dog. Come on, am I preaching pretty good? Yeah. All right. You go get a dog, right? Well, because they provide some companionship. Well, I like dogs. Okay, I'm preaching the wrong church. I like dogs. I like cats. That really makes me an oddity around this part of the country. But I like cats. I like animals. But you know what? The fellowship, it's not the same level as my wife. I have no plans of replacing my wife with a dog. Why? She's not going to get rid of me for a cat. Well, it's not the same. How many know that's the truth, right? You may have fun with them. You may enjoy their companionship. You don't have me around. They may be, a companion and so forth. But the point is, they're not in your image. They're not in your likeness. I don't care what people say today. We didn't come from monkeys. And I've met people I believed it, almost. Well, maybe there's an exception here. You heard about the two monkeys sitting in a tree. Two monkeys sitting in a tree, and a human walks by. And one of the monkeys says to the other monkeys, did you hear that they're supposedly descended from us? The other monkey said, none of us have ever aborted our babies or done the awful things humans have done. He said to the other monkey, brother, they descended. They descended, brother. The ornery cuss, but they didn't descend from us. How many know man was made in the image and likeness of God? And we've talked about this before. We have no idea what Adam was like, but we know he was brilliant beyond anything we know. Because even today, medical science say the best of us, I've talked to you about this before, the best of us use 12% of our brain. And most aren't using that much, believe me. Come on, am I telling the truth? You know people, they're not even using 6% yet. So what's all the other percentage for? What's the other 88% for? If you're a brilliant one and you're using 12% like Travis, what's the rest for? How many know God made it for something, right? Because Adam was magnificent before the fall, before sin. Everything deteriorated after sin. I think the earth is beautiful, but we have no idea what it really looked like in the beginning days. It probably talk about vivid color.
Oh yeah, come on.
I mean, just look what we do. You know, I'm a sports guy. I always say that if it's got a ball or somebody will hit somebody, I'll watch it. That's just me. I've been that way. You know, people try to shame me out of it and say, well, that's not God. Just leave me alone.
Yeah.
I've always been that way. And sometimes I've seen clips of things that we were watching, football games, in the 1980s. And it looks like the screen's got Vaseline smeared on it. Yeah. It's blurred compared to what we have today. Right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Why? Because the color is so vivid, the picture is so crisp today. And you know what? 20 years from now, we'll look at what we have right now. You know, those TVs we just went and bought, the latest, greatest. And we'll think, my gosh, that was blurry. See, I remember the days when some of you aren't old enough, but I remember the days when color TV came out. Look at all these white hairs going, yeah. And no hairs going, yeah. I remember that. Yeah. I remember the very first thing I saw on TV. It was on a black and white TV. It was coverage of the assassination of President Kennedy. First time I ever had remembrance of watching TV. I was watching it in my grandma's house on my dad's side. My other grandma didn't have a TV. She said it was a demon-eyed monster. Until Oral Roberts came on. Then she got the TV just to watch Oral Roberts. That's what she said. I don't know if Luke and Laura got in there somehow or not. I don't know. But anyway, that's what she said. That was her. But my point in saying that is, what was the earth like when God created it? It had to be magnificent, beyond anything we can even imagine. And it's beautiful now. I mean, I've been out to the Grand Tetons. I've been out to the West. I've been out to Yellowstone. Been out in that part of the country. And you look at the Grand Tetons, and it'll take your breath away. It's just so beautiful. I mean, the lakes, the snow-capped mountains, it's just gorgeous. But yet, it's in a fallen state. And the Bible says that the creation is groaning and travailing for the manifestations of the sons of God. Creation wants to be delivered from this corruption. When God created us, He created us in His image, in His likeness, to have fellowship with us. Amen. In other words, be part of His family. Yeah. We're not supposed to get saved as Christians and then ignore the Father and not spend time with Him, not talk to Him, not read His word, His letter to us. How many know that's His letter to us? That book's His letter to us. And we're supposed to read what if you want to know God, see, it's amazing to me how many people form their beliefs based on their opinions or their circumstances or what life says. Even Christians. One minister said this. He said, there are some Christians who will not let the Bible get in the way of what they believe. Can I say that again? He said, there are some Christians that won't let the Bible get in the way of what they believe. Yeah, people say, I believe this. Well, where's the scripture at? Well, I don't have any scripture. I just believe God's dealing with me. God doesn't deal with you apart from His word.
That's right. Amen.
And if He says anything, it confirms His word.
Amen.
He doesn't give you a revelation apart from His word. That's why these groups that call themselves Christians and they got a revelation apart from the Bible, I'm not going near that. You understand? We don't have, as a church, we shouldn't have any extra writings outside of the Bible. Of course, we've got people that taught on the Bible, but they're, you know, and teaching books and things like that. But we don't elevate them to the same level as the Bible. The Bible is infallible. There's no mistakes in it. There's mistakes in interpretation of it, but no mistakes in it. Amen. Are y'all listening to me this morning? So that's one way we communicate with God, by we read what He's written to us. And when we do that, the Bible says His Spirit will lead us into all truth. We fellowship with Him. We worship Him like we did this morning. We spend time with Him. Why? This is what Father wants. He wants communication with His children. Amen. He wants to talk to them. Amen. So we were created for the very purpose of that, of fellowshipping with God. That's the reason we were created, to be part of His family. Did you know that when you read the Bible, this is Psalm 122, which we won't look at today, but if you read Psalm 122, you would find out that Jerusalem was ordained as a place of fellowship, where the tribes of the Lord would go, to where His Ark of His Covenant was at, where His temple was at, where the sanctuary. What I'm trying to say. Anyway, the synagogue, where God had it, Jerusalem. He tells us that in Psalm 122, that it was ordained as a place for fellowship. In which God had a city, amen, that people could come to and His presence was there. Amen. Remember Jesus met the woman at the well in John chapter 4, and she said to Him, she said, our fathers worshiped God in this mountain. You guys say, you Jewish people say, that in Jerusalem's the place to worship. And Jesus said, woman, believe me, the hour is come when you'll neither worship God in this mountain nor at Jerusalem, but he that worshiped the Lord will worship Him in spirit and truth. In other words, Jesus said, things are changing, lady. Now there's going to be people worshiping me all over the earth. Amen. Now, Jerusalem still has a special place in God's heart because of the way it's His city. Well, people want to argue who Jerusalem belonged to. The Bible says it's the city of the great king. But no longer do you have to go there. To experience God's presence. Now, you may go there, you may experience God's presence. But you don't have to go there to experience God's presence. You probably would. I took somebody in a church one time, and this is a church. I won't name it. I just won't name the denomination. But anyway, it's a church, and this person, I knew something about this church. This church is worldwide. I knew they had a lot. They had some things that they believed that really weren't scriptural. All right, just be honest with you. We don't pray to saints. Jesus said, "Ask the Father." Are y'all alive today? I know we're missing some people, but come on. Those of you here, act like you're alive. We pray to the Father in Jesus' name. We don't go through anybody else. So, but yet I knew that there are residues of people in there that love the Lord with all their heart. And so, and here's one thing they had going for them. They reverenced God and the house of God. A lot. So I had this person with me, and they were very anti this group of people. So we went into this church. And I mean, when we walk in there, there was some people praying and stuff. So we just walked around, you know. And when we got out, this person was crying. I said, "What you crying about?" He said, "I felt the presence of God." I said, "Yeah. You felt the presence of God? Because if God waits till we all get perfect, the only one he's going to use is Pastor Jerry." What'd you say? At least he's got someone. Thank you, G. Yeah. Because his number one characteristic is humility. Amen. How many know if God's going to wait till we all get perfect, guess what? He's going to be waiting a long time, right? I'm looking for the perfect church. Well, don't go. You'll ruin it. Now, see, the thing of it is God meets people and blesses them where he can. And I happen to know, yeah, there was a lot of things this group of people I believe is wrong and I think are dangerous. But I think there's a remnant of people that love the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. And his presence was there. Yeah. But God's, his presence... He wants his presence. He wants us to do like the Israelites do and get daily manna. Manna every day. Collected every day. He's got it for us every day. And that's the reason we were created, is to fellowship with him. Look at this. We got a little bit of time. Look at this at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Come on, y'all getting something? I mean, I know it's kind of this exhortation this morning, but it really is important that we understand why we're here. We're not here just to work our jobs, just to raise our family, to raise our kids. Yes, that's part of what you need to do, because God said be fruitful and multiply. But I'm just saying, you got to get your number one purpose right to get everything aligned. You got to start out right. Look at this, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful. How many know he is? Yes. By whom you were called. Look, you're called unto something. How many want to know what you're called unto? Yes. Unto the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you're called unto... What are you called into? Well, I'm called to be an apostle. I'm called to be a prophet. I'm called to be this. I'm called to be that. Hey, you're first called into fellowship. All that other stuff just comes out of that and flows out of that. But you got to start with the right place. See, if you don't fellowship with God, you really don't have anything to give the world. You got to go get something. Amen. So... That's our beginning place. Everything in life should flow out of that. I mean, what our fellowship time with God, our careers. You know, God will help you with that. How many know that? See, people, just one thing that I've tried to tell people is this: don't just make decisions just based on what you want. Make decisions based on how God leads you. We tell our children, you can be anything in life you want to be. Well, yeah and no. Not if you're following God, you can't. I'm something in life right now I never planned to be. My vision for me when I was a teenager and later 20s, early 20s, I should say, was not this. It was something else. I had a different vision. But God. You see what I'm saying? See, and I've been richly blessed because I followed the Lord. I've been richly blessed because and when I say richly blessed, I'm not just talking about money-wise or financial-wise. Don't read that into it. Yes, God's taking care of me. But I'm just simply saying, just the richness of my life.
Yeah. Right.
The peace, the joy, the contentment, the happiness.
Yeah.
Amen. So, you know, you could people choose their careers, and I tell parents, I said, help your kids figure this out, because like Brother Greg said, don't go to school 4 years for underwater basket weaving. Let's have some sense here. Don't go for 2 years for typewriter repair. I hear kids go to, what are you going for? It's like, I don't even understand what you're going, what are you going to do with that?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with that when you get out? Work at Walmart. Well, you could do that without going to school. So get it figured out. So, but what you ought to do is just pray and say, God, what do you have for me? Let him lead you. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You say, what if he doesn't speak to me? I don't hear an audible voice. You probably won't hear an audible voice. I've never heard an audible voice. But yet, I felt a nudging inside of me, go this way, go that way, do this, do that. Just step out in faith. If you're endeavoring to follow God, He will. It's like one woman said one time. She was talking, God, what if I miss you? What if I miss you? She's talking about following God. What if I miss you? What if I miss you? He said, I'll find you. Because you did it out of sincerity, not out of rebellion. You're trying to follow Him. How many know we all sometimes we try things and find that wasn't the will of God.
Amen.
I'm not telling you that we all pray and like we get an email from heaven. We open it up. God says, don't do it. It's like one pastor said, he said, a teenager in his church told him, said, he was preaching on prayer. She said, Pastor, when I pray, I get one of three answers. He goes, oh yeah, what's that? God either says yes, or he says no, or he says, you've got to be kidding. That's a teenager for you. But how many know God, He doesn't necessarily, you know, oh yeah, there are those supernatural times. I've had things supernatural things that God confirmed it supernaturally. It was just supernatural. I thank God for those things. But I've also learned that the most time it doesn't come that way, I just like on the inside of me, know I should go this direction. It's like when the early church was trying to decide whether the Gentiles should keep the law. It seemed good to them and to the Holy Ghost to lay no burden like that on the Gentiles. You'd think something that important God would have shouted from heaven. But it just said it just seemed right to us. It seemed right.
Yeah.
How many know you got a seamer?
Yes.
And it can sometimes seem right and seem wrong. It seemed wrong, run from it.
Yeah. That's right. Amen.
I don't care if you're at the altar and you said, this just seemed wrong. Hey, say, I'll be back in a minute. Well, no, don't lie. Rephrase that. I'm leaving. Explain it later. How many know it's better to do that than miss God? Come on, are y'all listening this morning now? So we have to understand that everything in life, even though we may go do careers, you may not be a preacher like me all your life. You may not do those kind of things. Maybe you're going to work a job. Maybe you're going to work in the factory. Maybe you're going to work in the office. Maybe you're going to do this. Maybe you're going to do that. But if you fellowship, if you'll get your priorities lined up right, if you'll do that, all that God will help you with, it'll go a lot smoother, and you'll find blessing and promotion from God on it. Amen. Is that all right? All right. Now I want to look at something else. Matter of fact, let's just look at a couple. Let's go back to the Old Testament scripture, 2 Chronicles. In the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, and I want to talk about this. 2 Chronicles 26. More exhorting today than anything else, but we have to get it aligned right. That's what I'm trying to say. We need to get aligned right so that everything goes smooth. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5, talking about King Uzziah, it says, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the vision of God. And notice this, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. See, but how many know he had to put the priority right? He had to seek the Lord. And as long as he did that, God saw to it that what he did prospered. We, you know, New Testament scripture, Hebrews 11:6. He's a rewarder of those that casually seek him. Pardon? Did I quote that wrong? He's a rewarder of those that part-time seek him. No, those that what? Diligently seek him. If you're diligent about, he's a rewarder of that. Well, that's part of the, that's the purpose. That's the purpose. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So I know tomorrow morning you're going to get up, you're going to go to work. I understand that. But you've got to understand, you've got some priorities. You can't leave God out of your life. You can't just be like, well, we show up on Sunday, we have church. We show up on Wednesday, we have church. And that's all the time God gets from me. I mean, that's just not right. Amen? See, John said that our joy would be full, amen, when we fellowship with one another. Now, I'm going to, in closing, I wanted to put up Psalm 25. I want to read this out of the Amplified, 25:14. I love this out of the Amplified Bible in Psalm 25:14. It says, the secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord is with those who fear him, reverence and worship him. And he will show them his covenant and reveal to them its deep inner meaning. But I love that the King James, which I'm reading now, says, the secret of the Lord is with those that fear him, and he'll show them his covenant. All right? Now, that word secret, literally, I've got this written down. I had some notes that I had. That word secret means a company of persons in close deliberation, intimacy, a secret assembly, or an inward secret council. It means you're getting together, you're fellowshipping, and you're in that council of the Lord. That comes. Now, that is the sweet, satisfying part of life, is a fellowship with the Lord. I mean, now I've just learned this. You know, I'm a little older than some of y'all, but I've learned this just from experience. Natural things don't satisfy your spirit man. And I do natural things. Hey, I watch football. Did anybody see the Indiana Hoosiers annihilate number 9 Illinois last night? Glory be to God. But after that's done, my spirit's no better off. My flesh is happy. Amen. See, but there's something, when you fellowship with God, it does something on the inside of you that doesn't do. See, I'm not one of these guys. I've watched sports, but I'm not one of these guys that get bummed out when my team loses. You know, some people are bummed out for 2 or 3 days. It's like, oh my gosh, we lost. I'm like bummed out for 2 or 3 minutes, and it's like, yeah, let's go get something out of the fridge. Amen. I'm over it. Because I've learned a long time ago, none of that satisfies me, but God satisfies me. His presence satisfies me. Being with him satisfies me. Amen. Are y'all listening now? Amen. See, that's the reason I was created. That's the reason you were created, created in the image of God, to fellowship with him, to be with him, to spend time with him. Amen. We have all of our business. We have all our daily life we got to do. God knows that. Apostle Paul had that. He was there were times he had to work as a tent maker. Mm-hmm. Amen. But yet he kept that communion with the Lord, that we used to say it like this, your spirit bent towards God. You're tuned to God. Amen. You keep tuned to God. You keep, you know what I'm saying? And when you do that, there's just this open communication. There's this thing between you and him that causes your life to be sweet, satisfying. There's this companionship. If it's all about natural stuff in your life, listen, all it does is satisfy the flesh. It can't satisfy your inner man. Can't give you peace and joy. And furthermore, it's not the purpose you were created for. Amen. Amen. Certain things were created for certain things. You were created for God. Amen. Amen. You know, certain things are created for certain things. You know, that's the way they work, you know.
but you were created for the Most High God. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, did you get a nugget out of that? All right, I know that was kind of a little laid back this morning, but I'm telling you something. I really know this just from years of experience that if I keep this in focus, if I keep this in focus and I do this, my life runs a lot better than when I get out of sync with this and put natural stuff first. Amen. Doesn't mean, I'm not saying you have to get up. Some people teach this. That's fine if it works for them. They say, well, you got to get up like 4 a.m. and spend your time praying. Well, some people do that. That's great. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about giving God first place. It could be throughout the day. Amen. We went through that back in the 80s about teaching about, you know, could you not tarry with me 1 hour, and getting up early in the morning and praying for 1 hour, and people were falling asleep and everything else, and you know what I'm saying. And some people that works for. I'm more of a morning guy for doing that myself, personally. But not everybody's geared that way. Phyllis is a night owl. I mean, she wrote the book on it. And none of you can beat her. She wrote the book on it. She's been that way since she was little. She's been that way ever since we've been married, and that's about 40 years. But she's just a night person, you know. And so we remember the teaching, hon, tarry with me 1 hour. And finally she spoke up, said, there's just as many scriptures that Jesus prayed at night as there are of the morning. I mean, it's not about the time frame. It's not about the time of day. It's about your bent towards God and recognizing the reason you were created was to fellowship with Him. That's first place. If you don't get that right, He can't get involved in all the areas of your life where He wants to, because you're not giving Him a door in there. You got to open the door. Let's stand up. You get something today? Thank God for the Word of God.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.